when you are being driven through the darkened streets of London early in the morning and you're glancing at the various headlines and stories, sometimes I find myself thinking, oh, I've obviously misread that one. I better read that again, because that's a load of nonsense. And that happened this morning with the front page of the Times. Not the journalism of the Times, by the way. The idea behind the story. Paedophiles who view indecent images should not be given any criminal sanction unless they pose a physical threat to children, says Britain's most senior child protection police officer. Simon Bailey says policing system has reached saturation point from increasing reports of sexual abuse, including online and historical cases. Lower level offending should be decriminalised and dealt with through counselling and rehabilitation. He's the lead on child protection at the National Police Chiefs Council. He agrees he knows the stance could horrify many people, but said police forces had limited resources and needed to focus on offenders posing a threat of contact abuse. The police service is having to deal with an unprecedented volume of reports of non-recent abuse, ongoing abuse, online abuse, peer-to-peer abuse. The numbers are continuing to rise. We've reached saturation point. The police service has responded to the threat, but it has now reached that point whereby we have to try and turn the tide. We have to look at alternatives. That finishes the quotes, by the way, from the police officer. The number of child abuse reports has risen by 80% in 3 years. Police receive an average of 112 complaints a day. Good Lord. That leads to more than 70,000 investigations a year. Meanwhile, the forces are also preparing for an estimated 40,000 reports of abuse from the Independent Inquiry into Child Sex Abuse, which, you will recall, began hearing evidence yesterday. So are we really saying, I should tell you, he's also Chief Constable, by the way, of Norfolk Police, so he is a senior copper, but is he right that paedophiles who view indecent images should not be given any criminal sanction unless they pose a physical threat? Well, and how do you determine it? Juliet Grayson is chair of Stop So. This is the Specialist Treatment Organisation for the Prevention of Sexual Offending, and a psychotherapist joins me now. If we have, I'm going to use the example of a man. I know it can be females, but more often than not, I imagine it's a man. If we've got a bloke who's viewing indecent images, don't we need to get at it fairly quickly? Because surely it will lead to other potentially more dangerous offences. Good morning.
Hi. Well, certainly it's good to get at it quickly. And the problem with the current situation is that often it, from the first sign of a problem, it can take 2 years, 18 months to 2 years, before they get convicted, if they're going to get convicted of something. And in that time, they're just left abandoned with the kind of extra stress of the court case and everything going on. Whereas what StopSo does is we offer therapy in the community to anyone who is at risk or feels at risk of committing a sexual offence. And that can start within about a week of them making contact with us. And people are coming forward and asking us for help. They know what they're doing is wrong, or they know they have troubling thoughts that they're concerned about and they're worried that they might break the law. Mm. And we can help them very quickly by offering therapy in the community to help them not act out and to remain law-abiding.
So how do you stop a potential paedophile?
Well, firstly, let me just make a distinction. A paedophile is someone who has the attraction, and we have many non-offending paedophiles who never, ever follow up and act on that. So a child molester would be the person who has committed the offence and has touched a child.
But hang on, if I pay to watch children, to watch sexual images on children on the internet, I'm a paedophile, aren't I?
No, you're. There are many paedophiles who never look at images of children on the net.
No, but hang on, if I do that, hold on a second. If I am paying money to regularly watch children being forced to have sex or whatever, that doesn't make me a paedophile.
No, the paedophile.
So where's the distinction?
There's a misunderstanding in the community about this. A paedophile is someone who has the attraction. And then the person who acts on that and looks at child abuse images or who...
No, but surely then, if I'm getting on the internet to watch children, then I've got the attraction, haven't I?
Yes, but what I'm trying to make the distinction is that there are many people who are paedophiles who have the attraction who never act out on it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So if I'm watching it on the internet, I'm not saying I then acted out, but I'm still a paedophile because I'm paying money to watch children being forced to have sex.
There are many non-offending paedophiles who never actually even go that far and look at images.
Right.
And 72% of the people that we have researched are 25 or under when they know they have a problem with their sexual interest. 72%.
So, I'm sorry, why are you telling me that? What do you take from that figure then? I don't understand why you're telling me that.
Well, what I'm saying is that they know by the time they're 25 years old that they've got a problem.
Right.
And many of them don't act out until they're 30 or 35.
Right.
And so there's a window there where we can help young people who have an inappropriate sexual desire or sexual behaviour to remain law-abiding and never to act out, never to look at a child abuse image and never to commit...
How do you do that? How do you get into their heads and turn them around?
Well, we're getting people who are coming forward asking us for help. 89% of the people coming to Stop So are self-referred and saying, I want help to stop. So that's a very good first start. And we can work with them. Often there's a trauma in their history. Often there's something that's gone wrong early on, maybe some violence or issues around drugs or something. There's trauma in their early history. And when you offer them therapy and you help them with that trauma, that can reduce and remove the desire to act out inappropriately. So it really is possible to make a significant difference and help these people. There are some people who have the desire and it seems to be like a sexual orientation, like heterosexuality or homosexuality. And for those people, they have to live with it. They're never going to be free of the desire. But with them, we can help them develop strategies to A, know when they're running a risk, and B, avoid being around children. And so they have to learn not to go swimming in the swimming pool when there are children there, and they have to learn to avoid school playgrounds.
And we hear from the Chief Constable of Norfolk Police, who's the lead on child protection, that it's reached, quote, saturation point. Why might that be, from your view, someone who works in the field?
Well, the scale of the problem is absolutely immense. In 2015, the National Crime Agency said there are 750,000 men with a sexual interest in children, and there are only a total of 86,000 places in prison for murderers, theft, fraud and everything. So we can't possibly lock them all up. So coming to Stop So is another alternative. Can I give out the phone number?
Sure.
It's 07473 299 883,
right.
And it's www.stopso.org.uk.
Julia Grayson, thank you. You chair Stop So and you are a psychotherapist yourself. Thank you for your input. 12 after 8. Listening to that is Jonathan Taylor. He's a former detective, 15 years in this field, now child safeguarding consultant for online and social media. Do you agree with what we're hearing from the Chief Constable of Norfolk? Morning.
Morning, Nick. Of course, I believe in what he's trying to say is that it is saturation point, but it's been that way for many years. Just that figure of 750,000 that was quoted, that came out from the FBI about 8, 9, 10 years ago, about how many online paedophiles there were at any one time.
Hmm.
It was an epidemic 10, 12 years ago. The problem you've got with it is the fact that there's not any real proactive policing in this area because it relies on reports. So you've got wonderful organisations like Stop It Now and Julie's organisation, where they can actually help people who can self-refer. But then you've got the issue about, well, we still have to police it, and it does carry a custodial sentence. So if you start to sort of take away the threat of a custodial sentence, then automatically the individuals that can go online to see images will say, well, I can go on and nothing's going to happen to me. Of course, it can happen to them. It does carry a custodial sentence. We've got to be very careful here. And what Simon's trying to say is it is a saturation point. There's no room in prisons. So if we carry on policing this way, we carry on arresting, and we're not going to send them to prison, what are we going to do with them? And the chance, and he's quite right, what you've got to do is rehabilitate or try to rehabilitate. Well, does that work? That's the issue, and it's still a very new area.
I mean, you're closer to this than I am, but you talk about rehabilitation. You're really playing with fire here, because if you get it wrong and you don't turn someone around, the next time you read about it, it could be the headlines for all the wrong reasons.
That's exactly right, Nick. And I still look at when I was carrying out the work when I was in law enforcement and the research I did for my master's, was to see, well, is there a link between those that actually view images to actually that go on to abuse? And I actually did it the other way, and I looked at all the individuals that were going online to find a child to sexually abuse. How many of those had already looked at images? And that was 98.5%. So here's a link straight away. So you'll get a lot of people that work within the field to say, yes, there's a positive link by the individuals who go online to look at indecent images of children for the sole purpose they want to actually abuse a child. So then you've got to look at, well, and it's about access and opportunity. What in society, everybody can have access to a child, whether your own extended family from an organisation you work with, or even a neighbour. So the access to the child, or a child, is there, it's in society. So we've got to be very careful here by saying, well, we won't pose a custodial sentence on those if they don't pose a danger to a child. Well, what does that mean? The fact that they haven't got children, they can easily actually get access to any child anywhere.
Well, we'll leave it there. Jonathan Taylor, former detective, 15 years in this area, and now a child safeguarding consultant for online and social media. Look, if you're paying... I know we haven't got enough places in prison. I understand that. I don't quite know how we solve this, but if you're actually paying to watch children being abused on the internet, being sexually abused on the internet, man alive, that's a crime in anyone's book, isn't it? How many of those can you rehabilitate?